In the Gospel of today's Mass, we find St. John the Baptist in prison, speaking to his disciples. And the reason why he was in prison is because he had the boldness to say to Herod that he was unlawfully married. And yet this boldness in St. John the Baptist was an excellent virtue. For it was his contempt of human respect. Now, human respect sounds like a very good thing. It doesn't sound evil, but it is evil. For it is the classical spiritual term for that sentiment in a man which makes him go against his conscience and do some evil or omit some good for the purpose of not offending his fellow men. It is based in fear, the fear of the loss of the things of this world, and indeed one of the most precious things of this world, which is the respect and the friendship, the loyalty of people around us. Whether it should be our relatives, our friends, or our business associates. You cherish that actually more than most of your material goods. The enjoyment of family life, good relations with all of your relatives and friends. And that is in itself a legitimate thing, something to be hoped for, something to love, but not at the expense of the law of God. But this fear is rooted in self-love, as all sins are. That is, the excessive love of self all the way to the contempt of God. Now, this human respect, once it takes over a man, completely ruins him. For in the first place, it takes away his reason. When a man fears to offend those around him, the only principle that guides his judgment is, what are others going to think of me if I do this, if I do that? His link with reality and with truth is destroyed. The only principle is not to offend others, to keep the respect of his associates. Secondly, it takes away his liberty. He becomes a slave to the opinion of others. He is no longer his own man. And thirdly, and worst of all, it destroys his conscience. For he, in order to gain that human respect, must commit an evil or omit a good which he in his heart of hearts detests, which he knows is evil, but which he must do out of fear of offending others. And so his conscience the voice of God in him, is ruined by human respect. And this sin is very common. There is a desire for human respect in all of us. It goes with our self-love to the extent that we are prideful, that we love ourselves excessively. To that same extent do we have this human respect. There have been immense sins committed by human respect. The first is the worst sin of all. The crucifixion of our Lord Jesus Christ, the true God. And how was he crucified by human respect? By Pontius Pilate. Pontius Pilate, if you see the gospel, was resisting the pressure of the Jews, for he had, after all, some scruple of conscience about putting to death someone that he found completely innocent. But when did he cave in? When they said, "You will not be a friend of Caesar. We have no Caesar but God." Rather, "We have no king but Caesar," they said to him. And they said, "You will not be a friend of Caesar." And then he ordered the bowl to be brought before him, and he washed his hands in a futile attempt to cleanse his conscience of the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, God. And what has been the result of this dreadful sin of human respect? Yes, he remained a friend of Caesar. He retained all that. But do you even know the name of the Caesar whose respect he retained? And if you know his name, do you know anything about him? But you do know Pontius Pilate, because his sin of human respect has put him in the credo of the Catholic Church. And his sin goes, remembered, from generation to generation, suffered under Pontius Pilate. The famous G.K. Chesterton said, concerning his name in the creed, that it can be likened to a big, dirty dog sitting in the middle of a beautiful living room. The sin of Saint Peter was a sin of human respect. As he was sitting there in the courtyard warming his hands, he was attacked verbally by a servant girl. "Are not you one of them? Are not you a Galilean? Your accent gives you away." Fear struck in St. Peter. And he denied. He denied even though he had seen our Lord transfigured. Even though he witnessed every single miracle of our Lord, every single raising from the dead, even though he was privy to all of the secrets of heaven, secrets which are probably not even recorded in sacred scripture. He denied, even though our Lord said to him, "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I shall build my church." And he denied. And he denied not once, but three times. Out of human respect, out of the pressure of men placed upon him. But we know, tradition tells us, that he wept so bitterly over the denial of our Lord that whom he loves so much, that creases were formed in his cheeks for the rest of his life from the bitterness of those tears. And we also know that he more than made up for the ignominy of that sin by his glorious crucifixion in Rome. Equally, the sins of countless bishops, priests, and laity who, in the history of the church, have turned on our Lord and on Christ, that is, our Lord and on the church, in times of persecution and in times of heresy. Look at the bishops of England in the 16th century. All but one resisted the pressure of the king. Rather, only one resisted the pressure of the king. All others gave in to him. All of them. Ultimately, the whole country would give in to the pressure of human respect. The same is true of northern Germany, and the same would have been true of all of Europe had it not been for the positive steps taken by the Roman pontiffs and certain Catholic monarchs against Protestantism. And although we hear of the glories of the martyrs, let us not fool ourselves, but realize that there were many others who gave in when they were told to worship the gods of Rome. There were so many that there was even a great controversy in the early church about what to do about them. That is the effect of human respect. And conversely, as it is the occasion and cause of many sins, it is also the cause of many saints. That is, by their contempt of human respect, they have become saints. The one that is most clear in this regard is Saint Thomas More. Whom does the world regard today as the victor of that struggle? Was it all of the yes men and the cronies and the henchmen of Henry VIII? Are they the victors? Are they the heroes? Even in the eyes of the immoral and debauched world of today? Is it Henry VIII himself, the filthy, the diseased? Is he the victor in the eyes of the world? No, even in the eyes of the world, it is Saint Thomas More who gains the respect. And who is the victor in heaven? Is it the king who chopped off head after head? To the choruses of his court saying, "Yes, your majesty." Is he the victor? Who is on the altar of God except Saint Thomas More? And the reason why he is on the altar of God as one of our saints is because he did not give in to human respect. He would not be one of the king's men. For he said, "I am the king's good servant, but God's first." And he died for it. And at the time, everyone must have thought that Henry had prevailed. St. Thomas's head was put on the Tower of London for all to look at and scoff at, to be an example to all who would not give in to the tremendous pressure from the king. And yet, perhaps the worst pressure for St. Thomas was not from the king, but from his family and his friends, who came to him and pleaded with him to give in, so that they would not be deprived of his presence, his life. Imagine the temptations that went through that man when he saw his wife, his children, and his friends urge him time and time again. Human respect. St. Thomas of Becket, also in his struggle with an English king, refused to disobey the law of God in order to please the king. He too was struck down. And who now is the victor? Is it Henry II, the priest murderer? Or is it St. Thomas of Becket? St. Pius X was considered an imbecile by the world. An imbecile because he didn't understand the new theology. He didn't understand the modern progress. But he had absolutely no regard for their opinions. I remind you of the story when the editors of the Catholic Encyclopedia came to him and showed him the first volume. And in it were things which were modernistic. And in this private audience with the editors of the Catholic Encyclopedia, he took the book and threw it on the floor and said, "Modernist." He did not care if he offended them or not. He only loved God. He only loved his lambs that were confided to him. And he saw in that book poison for his lambs. And he wanted to communicate that fact to those men. He threw it on the floor in front of them and said, "Modernist." That is contempt for human respect, a holy, sacred contempt for human respect. They got the message. And yet another man, perhaps not a saint, would have accepted the book and for fear of offending them would have said, "Oh, this is a very nice book." Now, what are the ways in which Catholics today most often offend by human respect? First of all, by compromise with your Novus Ordo and pagan relatives and friends and business associates. You know that their conduct, their attitudes become day by day more and more different from ours. They use language that we don't use. They wear clothing that we don't wear. They have amusements with which we are not amused. They have attitudes that we do not have. They have impurity, which hopefully we do not practice, but at least which we do not believe in. They have gone completely for this world. And day by day, the fissure becomes greater between us and them. And day by day, the pressure becomes greater. And you are called upon in your family relationships and your relationships with your friends and business associates to do things which are evil. And you must resist. When somebody suggests to you that you go to the impure bar for a business lunch, you say no. Or when someone tells the blasphemous or dirty joke, you don't laugh. Or when a family member wants you to come to the wedding the second time around, then you're in exactly the same position as St. Thomas More. Secondly, the approval or silence concerning the scandalous conduct of family members. That is a sin of human respect. Human respect has a devastating effect on superiors. Anyone who is in a position of authority. For it makes them fear the loss of the loyalty and the honor of their subjects. It makes them fear that loss, that their empire, in a sense, will be taken away from them, their influence over whomever they are placed over, fathers of families, whatever. And they smile on the sins of those under them for fear of offending them. And with regard to this, I mentioned the third way, and the most important way of offending by human respect, and that is the failure to discipline children correctly. Today, parents are afraid of their children. They are afraid of losing the love of their children. And it is a sin of human respect. And so they fail to discipline them. And they fail to give them the instruction not only in the faith but also in piety. Because they are afraid of losing them, they give in to all of their whims. They do not want to in any way offend their children, and they live in fear of them. And honestly, I fear for the salvation of many of our children. When I see them being raised in the modern way, where they are never disciplined, where there is simply a constant litany of threats pronounced by the parent, and never a spanking, never a following through with true discipline. I fear for their salvation. For more and more, as I progress in years in the priesthood, I understand that the priest, the school, the sisters, all of the other helps of the church are, in a sense, useless if you, the parents, do not do your job. Unless you lay the foundation, we cannot build the edifice. It is as simple as that. And yet there are many people who have come to the traditional Mass for many years who are raising their children in modernism. That is, with the complete modern point of view. And they are going to lose their children. They let them be amused by all of the amusements of the world. They let them sit in front of the filth of TV. They let them become completely imbued with all of the modern ideas. And worst of all, they are not given true Catholic discipline. Discipline and piety. The lessons of piety and discipline that are learned in the home have much more effect than those learned anyplace else, even at Mass here. One lesson of piety in the home is worth 1,000 someplace else, because your child learns where his heart is. And you, the parents, have the hearts of your children. And that is his primary school. The Curé of Ars said, "The love of God passes easily from the heart of a mother into the son," referring to his own mother. It passes very easily from the heart of a mother into a son. And that is true of all of the faith and piety that must be communicated. And so human respect takes its toll today on the failure to discipline children correctly. And so be mindful of these words of our Lord concerning human respect. "Whosoever shall confess me before men, I shall also confess him before my Father who is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, I will also deny him before my Father who is in heaven. And fear ye not them that kill the body, and are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him that can destroy the soul and the body in hell. And what doth it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and yet lose his soul?" In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.